Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, online at sunburymotors.com. Ford Kia Hyundai, best in new inventory, great pre-owned inventory with the Sunbury Motors Guarantee. So important. Great service department, routine oil changes, inspections, and, of course, the tough stuff, diagnostics. They handle it all at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors, Kia, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, online at sunburymotors.com. Time now for our play-by-play call of the day. There literally was no sports yesterday, so we came up with this.
For another. Tied at 18. Another one to center.
I think he did it. I think he went to 19. I don't believe. But now, this is 20, as a matter of fact.
He keeps going. He's down on a knee. He's got it. Bat is flipped sky high. And Juan Soto is your 2022 Home Run Derby champion. Juan Soto becomes the second youngest Home Run Derby champion. Ken Griffey hands him the trophy.
No good! No good! No good!
What does that do for his trade value?
Well, that also deserves that, too.
You sit there, like, you actually wrote that? Could you come into my office? We need to talk.
That was a $500 million bat flip right there.
Yeah, it's great. MLB draft continues. Nathan Church played for the Spikes, picked by St. Louis in the 11th round. Tayden Hall for the Cutters was picked in the 9th round. Troy Taylor, who pitched for the Cutters last year, was picked in the 12th round by the Mariners. Josh Bortko was picked in round 16 by the Phillies. Great fastball. Tyler Hoffman of the Spikes, Colorado Rockies. Connor Brand of the Spikes by the Mets. Daniel Harper, to be honest with you, the Phillies, you're going to love him. The Phillies drafted Daniel Harper out of Kentucky. I think he will make his way through the system. There's something about him I really like. Good fastball, really good location, but he is a guy that... As soon as I saw him, I thought, you know what, he's got something. He's got something. And I'm glad to see, number one, he got drafted. He got drafted by the Phillies. He's a good pitcher. Really good pitcher. All right. So, there is a reality. We're going to talk to Jerry Dulac in the final half hour. But here's the reality of the UCLA situation, which relates to every athletic department. You can move money around in such a way where it looks like you're breaking even in this sport or that sport, but it's only moving money around. All right. And In the end, only football and men's basketball at most athletic departments make money. That's it. Right. The greatest single program in intercollegiate athletics right now, without question, is Penn State wrestling. They win. They're exciting. They graduate. They sell out. And they lose money. Now, could they make up for it if, say, Penn State were allowed to get its non-conference dual meets on floor wrestling? Yeah. Probably could, but they're not allowed to. because of the Big Ten contract. And BTN. All right. But that's part of being in a conference. It's part of being in a conference. But they lose money. And they don't just lose a couple of dollars. They lose, I mean, and again, I've referred to it as, because the fans make assumptions. That's why I refer to it as the Great Mirage. Oh, no. Because what don't you see in Rec Hall when Penn State wrestles? What don't you see? An empty seat. You don't see any empty seats in Rec Hall when Penn State wrestles. And they do a great job. They price it right. They'd rather have the place sold out. That's the way it should be. Because you can make up for it in other areas. I mean, you know, you're not worried about that. But that's the great... When a program is that great, that successful, but they can't make money, that is intercollegiate athletics in a nutshell. That's why UCLA is down... Now, they don't have wrestling, but they're down $102 million. Because that is the way it is. You can only get these mega deals because of football. You can only get the great supplemental income, right, by the NCAA basketball tournament. That's why I was talking about Mark Emmer before and saying, tell them where the money goes. Well, in other words, Penn State men's and women's soccer, Jeff Cook and Erica Dombach have top flight programs, outstanding. But they can't sustain themselves. Yeah, you're going to give $3,000 to $5,000 on a Friday night, depending on the opponent. That's great. But there's a reality to it. And that's why when we go back to Governor Gavin Newsom now, who again has power in this situation. At UCLA, Martin Jarmond, if he's the one, or maybe it's going to be the president of the university, we'll talk to him. But that's going to be the argument. I can't keep all these sports alive and all these opportunities alive because they can't sustain themselves. UCLA is a terrific baseball program. Do they make money? Absolutely not. They lose it hand over fist. They have a terrific baseball program. It doesn't matter how good you are. That's one of the great part of the mirage. If somebody's really good at something, I mean, let's take South Carolina basketball. Okay? Don Staley has an awesome program. They lose money hand over fist. Okay? It's the way it is. Can't sustain themselves. The men's program, which went to a Final Four once under Frank Martin, but the men's program is not as good as the women's program in terms of wins and losses. But they make money. It's just the reality of it. You've got to sit down and get down in the weeds and research this and take a long look at it. Right? That's what you have to do. If you're just going to sit there and walk in and go, it's sold out, they got to be making money. No. And so for UCLA, that's got to be the argument that if Governor Newsom does talk to them, that's got to be the argument. Like, look, we've got 25 sports here at UCLA. And we can't afford to build a stadium on campus, so we have an agreement to rent out the Rose Bowl, and the lease runs through 2044, I think. All right? And that's... That's the reality of intercollegiate athletics. That's why I've always found it interesting. You know, these huge TV contracts. And I understand the argument. You know, they should be getting a cut of it because of the universities earning all this money off of their sweat. All right? A valid argument to make, right? Okay? But the bottom line is, all of it gets spent on everything else. We just celebrated 50 years of Title IX. You can't get rid of any. You can't drop sports on the women's side of it, even though they're expensive as heck. You can't drop them. You got to be able to pay for them. How do you do it? And that is the argument they'd have to make. And let's go back. If USC and UCLA were forced to stay in the Pac-12, the Pac-12 TV contract would have to increase by 240% to get to half of the Big Ten deal. That's the economic reality of it. That's why the governor will justifiably posture, because it is a California system school. He will justifiably worry about what's going to happen with Cal Berkeley, justifiably. And at the end, UCLA just has to tell him what the economic reality is. Oh, so you're going to force us to stay here. We're going to have to cut some sports, because guess what? With a 240% increase, we'd still get half of the Big Ten. And you're not going to get a 240% increase in the Pac-12 contract. That's the economic, that's called the reality of it. It's like saying Derek Jeter was a good defensive shortstop, not a great defensive shortstop. It's called reality, man. Your guy who got better than 75% is in the Hall of Fame.
Just can't ignore stupid. That's all.
Enough of Friday nights. All right, so...
But when it comes to this, Steve, now you fairly pointed out Gavin Newsom's side of this, which I get is valid, but I think it also comes back to...
He has more power in this than people realize. It's not like being the governor of Pennsylvania where you don't.
Exactly right. Which leads me to say this again, which we've talked about before, is this is why government needs to stay out of sports.
But that's the way the California system is set up.
I know. Right? But that's something that's to change. Because you have a guy that has voting power that doesn't really understand the full entities of why UCLA is making this move.
Well, okay. Well, again, this is me being fair, okay? I'm not going to sit there and get into the politics of California, okay? Because I'm going to stay in my lane for, as off as I can. I want to stay in my lane. If you are the governor of California, and Cal Berkeley is closely tied to UCLA in sports, okay? Yeah, you are then sitting there saying, okay, I at least have to say something that makes it appear that I am concerned about Cal Berkeley. But in the end, not doing anything about this because it's beneficial for UCLA and its student athletes. So you do have to play a little bit of a game here.
That's fair.
I mean, you have to play a little, and it's not playing a game with the voters, but you're looking at everybody in the system, from Cal Santa Barbara to Cal Davis to Cal Irvine to Cal Berkeley to UCLA, hey, wait a minute, this is a big break here. Now, he can't do anything about USC, zero. And he can't do anything about Stanford. Even though the only thing that would save Stanford to me is, in terms of this situation, is if Notre Dame said, you know what, we can't get the $75 million from NBC. We're going to go to the Big Ten. And the Big Ten looks at them and says, you know what, okay, we got to bring an 18th school along to even everything out. And that could be the avenue for Stanford. See what I'm saying? So that is I mean, and Notre Dame is throwing in an opening salvo. We deserve to get Big Ten SEC money. We'd like $75 million a year from NBC. NBC doesn't have to give them $75 million. They don't. Now, what would help is if another suitor such as Fox stepped in or somebody and said, yeah, we'll do it. You know, they need competition for that. Whether they get it or not, I don't know. But that would be the argument you have. The argument is we're $102 million in debt doing it this way, and the Pac-12 TV contract has to go up 240% for us to get the half. I said, and you and I both know we're not going to get a 240% increase. I mean, the Pac-12 probably would have been in line to get a 20% increase, maybe 25% over their current deal. That's a little bit shy of 240. That's to get the half. Again, I didn't say to get even with the Big Ten. That's to get to half. That's a long way to go. And in the end, that's the part that's going to win out. I'm just saying it's something to look for and to be aware of as we go through this. Right, you know, it's part of our job here to inform as every step of the way goes. In the end, they're going to be part of the Big Ten. It doesn't mean that between now and then there isn't some posturing. I think posturing is a good word. And I thought we kept the discussion apolitical.
Perfect.
All right. We'll come back with more in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
You can see this moment building, and now every player are moving towards home plate to honor Albert Pujols on a legendary Hall of Fame career.
And that was actually really cool because it just happened. It wasn't planned. So, I mean, that part was really cool and justifiable. I mean, I'd love to see him somehow get on some roll and get to 700 career home runs. That would be really neat. But, yeah. You know? Oh, well. Yeah.
I really wanted him to win last night.
Well, he didn't, so move on. I'm just kidding. Oh, goodness gracious. No additional stuff on the draft here. At least in terms of guys that have been selected. But you see what I mean? Everything, this is all about money. People don't want to talk about money. And I understand that. You know, so let's bring the suit up for a moment. And we only do that, you know, because of the ratings. He's worth a ratings point every day.
S-U-I-T, that spells suit.
G-O-N-E, gone. All right, But we've talked about this when we've talked about money. And he's always enjoyed the romanticization of sports. You know, the storylines, things like that. And I totally get that. From a day gone by, I got that. But it's not the reality of it anymore. Okay. And I completely understand where he's coming from. The romanticization of sports. I get it. Totally. Totally. But it's not the reality. And that's why we talk about the money part so often, because part of our job is to inform the listener as to what the reality is. And we talk about the reality. Sometimes we're talking about why USC and UCLA need to make the move for the financial reasons. Other days we tell you Derek Jeter was a good defensive shortstop, not great. Matt only thinks I say that because I'm trying to hurt him. No.
No, you are mostly an atypical Red Sox fan. And I respect you for that.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15, Elmo's Wharf, online at sunburymotors.com. Ford, Kia, Hyundai, best in new inventory, all with great warranties. Great pre-owned inventory with the Sunbury Motors Guarantee. And a fabulous service department that takes care of everything. Routine, oil changes, inspections, diagnostics. They handle it all at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15. Hummel's Wharf, online at sunburymotors.com. A lot of privileges come with this job, and one of them is the ability to talk with a guy like Jerry Dulac. My friend, welcome back. Great to have you with us.
Steve, you know, always a treat to be with you, and I love when I'm waiting for you. I get the Sunbury Motors read. It reminds me of when I'm doing the weekly golf show, you know, doing my, I have to come out and do my TaylorMade read and Roy Toyota read. It's just, it's part of the job, but it just, it kind of like gets me all set for the interview.
There you go. Perfect. I'm glad. So Cam Smith is a guy that cut back on the beer, and he looks different now than he did a couple of years ago. And you and I have talked about him as a terrific player going back to the Players. What kind of clutch putter has this guy become over the past year?
You know, it's funny, Steve. He kind of looks like an auto mechanic from Doylestown or something, doesn't he?
With
with that mullet, you know, and he got that kind of 1970s mustache going on, which you can barely see because he's blonde. But you know, he's a good kid. He's a terrific player. His agent is a friend of mine. He's a Pittsburgh guy, Bud Martin. And so, you know, Bud has told me about Cam for years. And you know, to see him, you know, win the Players, he's just a tremendous putter, a tremendous short game, you know, good ball striker, you know, sometimes can get a little crooked with the driver, but plays smart. You know, we saw him not finish off some events early in the year, including the Olympics last year. You know, we had chances to win, and he kind of made some mistakes, like on 18. You know, he made bad decisions.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, he didn't do that at the Players, and when he starts, you know, rolling the potato like he did, and let's face it, that was the difference. Rory McIlroy hits all 18 greens, he doesn't three-putt, and he doesn't find a bunker in the final round, and he loses because he got steamrolled by a guy who shot 64 because he took only 29 putts. He did what Rory did the day before, and Rory did what Cam Smith did the day before. Cam made them on the last day like Rory did on Saturday, and Rory missed them on Sunday like Cam did on Saturday. And, I mean, it was inch after edge with Rory. And he just couldn't get it to drop. And that big time, and I was when he was asked the question afterward, Cam Smith, you know, what was the key moment of the match or of the round? And I thought, that's easy. The putt at 17. And he said,
yep.
The putt at 17. To save par there and make that 18-footer or whatever it was. I mean, you know, otherwise he goes there with, you know, tied for the lead. Now, he, as it turns out, he's going to birdie, but you don't know that. But it's a whole different ball game when, you know, you're going to 18 with a one-shot lead and you know it's a birdie hole. And then, of course, Rory misses it by inches at 17. And, you know, that was the difference. And so I thought Rory played very well. I heard Brandel Chamblee say afterward, it wasn't the putting, it was that he says he just didn't hit his irons close enough. Well, first of all, that's baloney, and I'm a big Brandel Chamblee fan.
Yep.
But second of all they talked about all week was you're going to have 40, 50, 60, 70-foot putts at St. Andrews because you just can't, because the greens are so big and you just can't get to some of those pins. Well, there aren't a lot of 4 and 6 and 8-foot putts at St. Andrews. So to criticize Rory and say he just didn't have enough of those 4, 6, and 8-footers, yeah, it's kind of tough to get those at St. Andrews. It's who makes the 12, 15, 18 footers or the 25 or 30 footers, you know, and that was the difference. Rory putted wonderfully, except he just didn't put the ball in the hole. He just kept burning edges and leaving it right in the heart, and he just couldn't get it to go in. And it's too bad. I mean, because I would have really liked to have seen Rory win. Cam Smith, like I said, deserving champ. He's a good guy. But I think as you know, I think all of Scotland and half of everybody else wanted to see Rory win.
Yeah, I agree with that. And it's interesting because the third shot that Smith hit on the road hole was in the only spot he could hit it to have a chance at par. That was the only spot he could hit it to have a chance at par. And then he hit it there, and then he rolled in the putt to make a payoff. That's exactly right. That was the phenomenal part of it.
You know, Steve, I always say, just real quickly, people ask, you know, when they play at Pebble Beach, or that eighth hole at Pebble Beach, I say it's the greatest hole in American golf, and it's the second greatest hole in the world. And people always say, what's number one? I go, that's easy. The road hole at St. Andrews, 17. Yeah. It's just that it has so much character. It has so much peril. It's so difficult. And, you know, Tommy Nakajima, years ago, they called that the road hole bunker, just left of the green, the one right in front. Mm-hmm. The second name for that is the Sands of Nakajima, because years ago Tommy Nakajima was on that green and two. He putted up the left side. It took the slope into the bunker. It took him 7 to get out. He made 11, and he was on the green and two. It's just, you know, and with that road there, and then the wall there, there's just so many pratfalls awaiting the player. And I just think, you know, your tee ball has to go over the O. In course, in the old course hotel sign.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's tremendous. I just love the hole.
What does it tell you about how difficult this sport is that you can have the year Rory McIlroy has had and not win a major?
I know. And he won the Canadian Open. And you're right. I mean, you look and even... you know, you look at Jordan Spieth with a lot of, but I know he missed the cut though at the Masters. But you look at a lot of the top tens he's had, and yet he isn't even. I don't want to say he's not in contention, but he's in the top 10. And you look at what Rory's done, all those top fives. Okay, I know he kind of backdoored it at the Masters, finishing second. But you put yourself, you still finish second because you have yourself hanging around the lead to some extent, and hanging around the top of the leaderboard. And and here's a guy who hasn't won a major in 8 years. And when he won at Kiawah in 14, I mean, that was his fourth one, and everybody thought, you know, the Masters is just sitting there waiting for him. And he hasn't been able to do it there, and he hasn't won another one. And when you think it was kind of like Tiger's drought, and I know Tiger though had some physical issues, of course, as we all know. But Tiger went from the U.S. Open in 08 to that Masters win in 19. And, you know, people forgot how many years it had been since he won a major tournament, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And even it was even longer for a Masters, when everybody thought, you know, he was going to walk his way to Jack's record, which I never thought he would. But he had that 11-year drought, and here's Rory's now, what, on eight years. And nobody would have thought that when he was 24 or 25, whatever he was, after he won his fourth major.
Yeah, no question. I mean, and again, you look at 1 year... Ricky Fowler finished in the top five of all four majors, didn't win them. McIlroy, who is a cut above, I mean, let's face it, I mean, did we think Valhalla was going to be his last major?
Right. I mean, you look at Scottie Scheffler, too. Now, he tailed off on Sunday. I think he shot 74. But there he was again, you know, after going 1, 2, and 3 in the majors. And there he was again, right in the hunt. And, you know, he's just, you know, it's shown that he could play any type of golf course. But he just, he didn't play so well on Sunday. But otherwise, he was right there again You know, when you look at guys who have just been consistently good all year in the big tournaments.
So let's, if you don't mind, I want to shift gears because Steeler camp starts a week from Thursday down in Latrobe.
Actually, a week today, Steve, is when they report because I'll be heading up there. But yes,
yep,
go ahead.
Yes. So, but this is not a Steeler topic, but it relates to the Steelers because they'll have to play the Browns. We're waiting on what Sue Robinson wants to do with Deshaun Watson. As you have looked at it, and again, Watson was not indicted when the case was brought before a grand jury, but she has to make a decision. In the end, what do you think they might do with Watson?
Well, the Browns have just mishandled this whole situation from the get-go. They got painted, you know, when they brought, I'll just back up real quickly, they brought Deshaun Watson in, they courted him over Baker Mayfield, and Deshaun Watson left. Well, now Jimmy Haslam has egg on his face. Now he has no other options except to offer him a guaranteed, fully guaranteed $234 million contract, which, of course, just riled and upset the remainder of the owners in the National Football League by handing out that kind of contract. So he had to do that now at that point to save face because he's already alienated Baker Mayfield. Then, of course, they have to, you know they're going to get rid of Baker Mayfield. They're going to pay half his salary. They got a fifth-round pick for a number one overall choice. And so the whole thing's been mishandled, and you're doing all that for a guy who you're not even sure he's going to be able to play. Now, some of the things that I read, they talk about the language of the complaint and the language in the personal conduct policy and how much does Deshaun Watson violate that. Well, you know, when you look at the number of cases, the civil cases that were against them, and I know they've been settled, but I don't, with money, that does not preclude the possibility or exonerate him from his behavior. And he sat out last year. I don't know if they'll look at that as time served or what. Everybody's waiting to see what'll happen. The longer it goes on, the more likely you would think that it's going to be less than a year. But to me, from everything you've read and heard and the Browns, that was the other thing. They didn't even vet the other side. They talked to Deshaun Watson. They didn't even bother talking to the women who sued him and the attorneys who brought the suit. They never interviewed any of those people. They just interviewed and vetted Deshaun Watson's people. Well, quite naturally, what do you think they're going to say? So they were there was no due diligence. They didn't do responsibly what they should have done, which I think, let's face it, any investigative journalist would have done, which is what investigative journalists did do. So yeah. I still think, Steve, it should be a year, but like I said, the way this, between the things you read and the fact it kind of drags on a little bit, you start to think it's maybe going to be less than that.
Yeah, and again, what does the collective bargaining agreement, how does that enter into what they can and can't do? All right, and that's where you talk about the contract and the moral, and essentially a morals clause in the contract.
Right.
Then the next part is, no Hines.
The whole town is up in arms, Steve.
No.
You would have thought the Rooney sold the team.
Yeah, I know. And it's what's interesting, though, is I guess the other owners were never crazy about it because part of it was the Hines red zone part of it, and that's supposed to be a valuable part of whatever contract. It was kind of a sweetheart deal. But you're right. So in that town, is anybody even going to call that stadium by its name?
Probably not. They're probably still going to call it Heinz Field. I think it took people a while to stop calling the PPG Paints Arena. I mean, stop calling the old Civic Arena that, and, when it was PPG Paints Arena. But this is, this is not a Pittsburgh company. But let me say this, too, Steve, is that, Heinz had a sweetheart deal before, 20 years, $57 million. And, of course, the 57 plays into their 57 garage.
Yeah.
And so we all know that. And so it was like a perfect fit. But, you know, look, all you got to do is look around. You know as well as I, the sports climate has changed dramatically financially. It is big, big money. And I was told by the people who know that the deal was $150 million over 15 years. And then so after this deal was announced, Steve Hines comes out with a statement effectively saying, we really wanted to stay with the Steelers, but essentially we were outbid. Well, Steve, their offer was so embarrassingly and ridiculously low for the climate today that they weren't even being considered. There was no bidding. They were blown away, by what Akershore was coming up with. And if you're the Steelers. So now all the people who complain about Heinz Field, whatever it is they complain about, whether the aisles are too narrow or the refreshments, I don't know what they complain about, but you hear people say, I don't like Heinz Field. Well, now you're getting this company to come in to invest all this money, so maybe there's going to be major improvements or major steps done to make it even a better venue. And yet people are just going to complain because it's not Heinz. Well, here's the other thing too, Steve. I didn't see any other Pittsburgh company stepping up and coming up with an offer. I'm not saying there weren't any, but I'm not aware of any. And so, I mean, what were they going to do? Take Heinz's ridiculously low offer and say, okay, we're going to do that because Heinz, you know, Heinz is Heinz. Well, Steve, Heinz isn't even a Pittsburgh company anymore. The parent company is a South American investment firm, I believe. So they're not even a Pittsburgh company anymore. What I thought the Steelers might do, though, and I thought they should do, but who am I to say? I thought what they would do is they would call it Rooney Field at Akershore Stadium, just like they did it in Denver, where it was Invesco Field at Mile High Stadium, something like that. I thought that was a plausible way to keep everybody happy, and who knows? Maybe they'll still do something like that, but. You know, just look at the world, Steve. It's the sports world. It's all about the financial stability and growth. And you can't fault the Steelers for doing what they did. It's something they had to do, especially because who else was stepping forward? Nobody.
Yeah, 19 days ago, USC and UCLA became part of the Big Ten. All right.
Yeah,
so,
how about that? Right.
I mean, but it's because of money. If UCLA is losing, if UCLA is $102 million in the red, and this is the solution to get out of it, what do you do?
That's exactly right. I mean, and so there's people who want to complain. And, you know, I mean, probably the people who are complaining, too, are the people who probably don't even go to the stadium, you know.
Right.
That's natural. You expect it. But once you look at the reality of it, and, okay, yeah, it's not the simplest name, Akershore Stadium, you know. But, you know, they already have PNC Park. They already have PPG Paints Arena. I didn't see Allegheny Health Network or anybody like that stepping up and wanting the naming rights. So, you know, I don't fault the Steelers at all. It's a great move for them, even though some of the fans are a little upset. And you know what, Steve? They want to call it Heinz Field? Call it Heinz Field. What does it matter?
That's right. That's right.
Call it whatever you want.
Right. In private, you can say, hey, I need directions to Heinz Field. They'll tell you. You're good.
That's exactly right.
My friend, it's always great to talk with you. Thanks so much for your valuable time.
Absolutely. I always enjoy the golf talk and the Steeler talk. And, I will tell you, I'm a little disappointed that the whiteout game is Minnesota, that it's not Ohio State, but I don't make those decisions, unfortunately.
And you're talking to somebody that doesn't either. So.
That's right. Well, I hope to see you soon, my friend.
Same here, Jerry. Thanks so much.
See you, Steve. Bye now.
Yeah, the great Jerry Dulac, Post-Gazette, Steelers Radio Network. And we'll come back and we'll let Matt have the floor as to why Joey Gallo should be a unanimous Hall of Fame.
No, senor! No, senor! No, senor!
Or Paul O'Neill. You're on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
When car repairs get difficult.
Well, I just don't know.
Me neither.
We get good. Sunbury Motors. More than quality new and used cars, Sunbury Motors specializes in complicated auto repair diagnosis. They can handle intricate repairs and even complete auto body with service open Monday through Friday, 7 till 4. And Sunbury Motors has made simple repairs easy. Maintaining your vehicle is necessary. Finding the time to do it is difficult. Welcome to Sunbury Motors Quick Lane. Open 7 till 4, Monday through Friday. Just walk in or call ahead. Relax in their remodeled waiting room with Wi-Fi, beverages, and snacks. While Sunbury Motors factory trained techs take care of your oil change, tire alignments, brakes, and inspections. Quick Lane, 6:30 to 6, Monday through Friday. Saturday, 6:30 till 2. Sunbury Motors, Ford and Hyundai, North 4th Street, Sunbury. And Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. We take the out of auto repair.
18th round's been very interesting for the State College Spikes. Brock Blatter got picked by the Cubs. He's a pitcher. Former Spikes, Drew Garrett, was picked by the Phillies. Again, remember I talked about Harper? Garrett's a great pick by the Phillies. I love that kid's makeup. You know, I'm a big Drew Garrett guy. Big Harper guy, too. Both with the Phillies. And Curtis Washington, who played here a year ago for the Spikes, was picked by the Mariners. So that's where that is. Anything in the end you want to say about Derek Jeter? Because it's really a sad story that he wasn't unanimous. It's very sad.
It's all right. He's been done. He's taken the high road like he normally does. And we're just going to enjoy his documentary. That's all.
I mean, $4.59 for a gallon of gas, and you're worried about whether he gets, like, one more vote?
I said I can't ignore stupid. That also was under that category, but that's a different topic.
Yeah, but I've seen pictures of your kids with the lawnmower, and they're not even barely two. That's not good. I mean, sometimes there's certain things I can't ignore.
I can't help if they love it.